Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great. Have you had a good week? After last weekend, last Sunday, what an awesome, awesome word that the Lord brought last week. And what I want to do, haven't got too long this morning, but what I believe it's right to do is I've been praying during the week and listening again through what was spoken last Sunday morning. And I don't know about you guys, but I wrote a whole lot of stuff last Sunday morning. But then going through it again during the week, just wrote a lot of other things down for us corporately, but also the things that really encouraged me and challenged me personally. And what I believe it's right to do this morning is that we pick out some of the key things that were spoken last week, because what we could do is have a message about something else this week, and last week could become a memory. And it was a great time, great morning, full of energy, full of life, full of the prophetic word which God brought. But, you know, we need to kind of look and pick out some of the things that, not just pick out the bits we like, but just take the key things that God was saying, and what does that mean for us now, and where are we in the context of that? Because we are a household, we are a family together, and, you know, when you have a household meeting or a family meeting, or you take time to kind of assess where you are as a family, how are things going. You don't have a family meeting or a household meeting or a family gathering and talk about a whole load of things and speak about a load of things, but then forget them and get on with the way that you were. And what I believe is really encouraging from last week is when God speaks prophetically, there's a number of things that the prophetic word, when God speaks, does. One, it strengthens. And I think everybody was probably strengthened by last week's word, were you not? I mean, I know I went out going, come on, this is, oh God, you're awesome, you know, and what you're doing and saying. It's also encouraging. How many of you know that encouragement is a lot better than confrontation and chastisement, you know? That to spur people on, you spur them on by encouraging them, maybe along the way, some have to help people a bit. But people become much more fruitful and they flourish more when they're in an environment of encouragement. And God is the best at encouraging people. And so when he speaks, he strengthens, he encourages, but he also comforts as well. But also with that, the prophetic word edifies and it builds up. And it was an amazing story, one of the stories that was given last week. You know, do you remember the one where she talked about the scientist from Japan who'd got the glasses of water? And he spoke over one glass really positive things, spoke over another glass really negative things, and then to another glass he just said the word Satan and put them all in a freezer. And when he brought them out, the one that he'd spoken positively over was full of colours and brightness and all kinds of different kind of things that looked beautiful. The one that he spoke negative to was all cloudy and it was all dirty and everything. And the one that he'd spoken the word Satan over had a black kind of black line and thing all the way through it. And it shows the power of words. Words are eternal. There was a study done, because of some research that was done in space, that there are radio programs that went out in the 50s, all right, that they picked up out in space because the sound keeps going. The sound, it's not that a sound just falls to the ground and it's gone. It might work like that here on Earth. You hear something and then it's gone. But in terms of our words going on forever, if a radio broadcast from the 50s can still be picked up in space now, what does that mean for our words that we speak? And one of the things that we were really encouraged last week was that, and we're going to look at some specific things, but in the light of what God was saying, one of the things that God said was to engage our faith with what he has said and what he was encouraging us with last week, and to be very specific in terms of what we're praying for, what we're speaking, and what we're moving towards. And that the power of words can either bring life or bring death. And again, the other story that she gave was about the lady who was having the heart operation, and they tried to restart her heart and they couldn't. And then the surgeon spoke into her ear, didn't he? And he said, "Let your heart live. Speak to your heart." And she obviously, in the middle of the operation, spoke to her heart, and boom, suddenly life came. And so life comes from speaking words, but we've got to speak the right words if life is going to be released in situations. And so just want to pick out a few things. But first of all, I want to read a couple of scriptures that God spoke to us at the beginning of the year, because I believe it's important that we give the right context, that what has God been saying already, and then what it means for us last week in terms of what God spoke into our situation. I don't know about you, but I was really encouraged last week. I know lots of stuff was happening. How many of you, after what was said last week, you know, about the plane circling around, you know, the whatever phrase she used, and said that delay is over. How many of you, something has happened this week as a result of responding in the meeting from what God was saying? How many of you know there's a delay that has now finished and you've seen the result? I don't know, there must be 25, 30 hands. Brilliant, you know. It's so true. Pastor Jonathan Dyke is not here today, but him and Janet stood up and there were a couple of things that they'd seen a lot of delay in and wanted to see the end and a result in a situation turn around. By the end of Sunday afternoon, both the situations they stood for had been sorted out. They'd seen a change and this delay was ended. I don't know what they were because he wouldn't tell me, but there were two things that he stood up and it's like, come on, that's the time we're in. God speaks, we respond and he does something. Let's have a look at Leviticus 26, first of all. I need to just be fairly swift this morning in the next 15, 20 minutes, because also I want to give you in the light, not just in the light of what we're saying, but over the last few weeks, just from a financial point of view, I want to give you a finance update as to where we're at with the finances and how we're moving forward. And that'll link into what we're going to just briefly look at this morning. But Leviticus 26 and verse 3 onwards, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send you rain in its season and the ground will yield its crops and the trees of the field their fruit. God has been speaking to us about now is the time for harvest. And last week when Jane Hammond was here, she spoke, you're in harvest now, you're in a new season. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest and the grape harvest will continue until planting. And you will eat all the food you want and will live in safety in your land. So there's an abundance there. There's a fruitfulness God's been speaking about this year. I will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove savage beasts from the land, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. What was one of the words that was spoken last week? That she'd had a vision of that swarm of locusts. And that wherever a swarm of locusts goes, it devours everything in its path, from food to furniture to crops. They're everything that it comes across. But in that vision that God gave her, there was a suddenly where that whole swarm of locusts suddenly dropped dead out of the sky and hit the floor. And there was an end, and this is all to do with the delays and other things. But the word of God is saying here that our enemies and what is opposing us or coming against us, they will fall by the sword before you. What is the sword? According to the, it's the word. So it's not that we're coming against people or this and the other. It's the word that is the sword that then brings life, but also destroys what is not of God and brings death to that. In one sense, our enemies, the enemy, whatever he's trying to do to oppose us. When we speak the word, when we declare the word, when we proclaim the word, when we decree the word, those locusts, if you like, they are destroyed, they're killed, they're defeated, they fall to the ground because God's word is alive, it's living, it releases life. And when you speak the word of God, something must happen, something must change. And so it says here that our enemies will fall by the sword. You'll pursue your enemies and they'll fall by the sword. 5 of you will chase 100 and 100 of you will chase 10,000 and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. And here's another encouragement. I will look on you with favor. Now, the second point she made last week was that mantle of favor that is upon Kingdom Faith. You know, when somebody comes in, and speaks here. We don't have conversations with them about what's happening and what's not happening here. We purposely don't talk to people. Sometimes people saying, what's God doing? And I'm always very like, he's doing great. The church is alive. Things are good. People are responding. I don't go into any details of what's going on, because what I want when somebody comes in is I don't want them to be coloured by anything that we might say or anything like that, so that when they come, they're coming with what God is revealing to them about what he's saying and doing amongst us and where we're going as a people. And so we hadn't had conversations with her. And, you know, when somebody comes and speaks prophetically like that, they can say things that are very, very difficult for that we would say ourselves. Now, we've said from the beginning of the year, it's a year of favour, it's a year of this, it's a year of that, and this is what God's been doing. And a lot of the time, we all go, yeah, hallelujah, amen. But when somebody else comes in and says things and they say, you know, you've got a mantle of favour, it means this, it means that, and this, that, and the other, everybody goes, yeah, yeah, rises. Why? Because God has prepared us over a period of a few months. He's been speaking into our life as a church and as a people, so that when he then brings somebody in, it's not suddenly news from nowhere that we didn't know, but because it comes to strengthen, encourage, comfort, edify, build up, it helps to release something more of what God has already been doing, but he brings it and says it in a different way with different understanding. Somebody who's got a prophet coming with that kind of anointing, and therefore it releases faith. It releases us to respond, to say, yes, that's it. I believe that. I agree with that. I take hold of that, as she was saying, pull it down, pull your future into today. I don't know how many of you have been doing that this week, but pull your future, pull the promises of God into the today of what you're living in, okay? Rather than, like she said, there's a someday mentality sometimes where we think, well, someday it's going to happen because God's spoken it. God speaks it and then we pull it into today. We get hold of that word and said, God, you've already released it because you've spoken it. So if you've released it, then it must be on its way. So I'm going to take hold of that and pull it into my today to see that take place. And so it says here, I will look on you with favour. And she unpacked that a bit more in terms of favourites. And I've written a few things down. I'm not really following the notes I've written, which, surprise, surprise. But then there was a scripture in there that, for me, I've just prayed over a bit and spoken a bit. Psalm 102, verse 13, to do with favour. The Lord will arise. And she said this, and reading it, have mercy upon... she said, Kingdom Faith, for the time to favour her, the set time has come. 2011 is a tipping point for us as Kingdom Faith. One of the other things that she spoke over Jane and I at the end, but also it was really about Kingdom Faith, that prophetic word. It wasn't just about us as leaders. It was for all of us. She said that, and I want to get this right in terms of what... she said, you're like the point of a spear, you're breaking through to new places and in your region. Now, she doesn't know we pray for a 25-mile radius. She doesn't know that we've been, as a leadership, talking and praying through that over the last couple of months as to how we're to move forward into that whole 25-mile radius much more actively as a church. And she comes and says, you want to go to new places and region. She said, you've had a reordering and a restructuring and you're planning for the future. Now, that's exactly what we've been doing for the last 6 to 8 months. We've had a reordering, a restructuring of the organisational side, financially, in terms of how we're operating and doing things. Why? Because we're planning and getting everything aligned this year for the future and where we're going. So again, for me, it's like, wow, nobody's had this conversation with her, but here's God speaking into the middle of our situation to encourage and strengthen us that now is the time. Now, she said that a number of times, and we had that scripture again at the beginning of the year. That's what Faith Camp is titled this year. Now is the time, from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now is the time of his favour. Today is the day of salvation. And again, that's linked in with now is the time for harvest, in terms of, again, what was being spoken about last week. Let's just read on a bit more. I will look on you with favour and make you fruitful and increase your numbers. Now, another thing that she spoke about last week was about this mantle of favor, that it's about increase, it's about expansion, it's about fruitfulness. And she spoke about that a number of times. Now, what do we do with that stuff? How many of you were excited by the end of the meeting last week or through the meeting? You were sitting there, yeah, this is great, this is brilliant, you know. But what do we do with that on Sunday afternoon? What do we do with that on Monday? What do we do with it on Thursday? What do we do with it on Friday, on Saturday, or the following Sunday, like today, or this week coming? What do we do with the prophetic words that God speaks? So what was last week about? Last week was God turning up, speaking through somebody to remind us who we are as a people, to remind us what he wants to do in us and through us as a people, to remind us that we're not just to think, you know, I'm part of a church and I turn up and we do church sort of stuff together. But actually, there was a reminder from God that there are certain mantles that he's placed upon us as a people. There's certain mandates that God has given us as a people. And I believe God is encouraging us and reminding us and wants us as a people not to at any time get sucked into just, you know, church week by week, do this, do that sort of mentality that churchianity kind of lifestyle, but to remind us that we're a kingdom people with a kingdom mandate upon our lives, that he's put mantles upon us. One was this mantle of revelation, giving us understanding, not just of the word, but also that Issachar anointing, understanding the times that we're in and how to function in those, how to move in those, how to pray in that season, and how to really cooperate and be positioned with what God is doing. With that Issachar thing and with that mantle of revelation and the favor of God, that mantle of favor, which was another point she made, was about God placing different people in places of influence, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in business, whether it's in the local council or parish councils, whether it's in different places, that part of understanding what God is doing is that we're not just coming from the outside trying to preach a message, but God is placing people on the inside of society, on the inside of the places where there's influence, where decisions are being made, that God is placing people who are valiant, again, as we heard last week, and as she so much encouraged the ladies from Proverbs 31, the word to describe the Proverbs 31 lady is valiant. It's not just the blokes that are men of valor, but they're women of valor. And God is placing men and women onto the inside of society. So we've used this phrase that God is turning the church inside out. So God is taking us and turning us inside out, or the church in general, not just us, but any church, turning us away from ourselves so that we're not just thinking about how we're doing and how we're getting fed and how we're growing and am I getting what I need and what I want. But God is saying, no, I'm turning you inside out now. So you're living for everybody that's not part of who you are. But also, I believe that God wants to turn the world inside out. How does he do that? He puts you and me, people with a call and anointing, with the favor of God, with the mantle of God, different things on our lives. And he's putting us in different places on the inside of society, on the inside of the places of influence, to turn those inside out also, but with his kingdom, life and power. Is that all right? Are you awake this week? It's just reminding us of what God was reminding us about last week and what he was speaking the other day. Something else that she said is that you're in a season of advancement. It's a season of advancement to go forward. Now, for me, that's really important because we over the last 12 months, we've done a total reordering of everything in terms of how we're organized, our financial structure and how we operate financially. And even things like Faith Camp, the way we're organising this year, it's completely different in the way we're organising it, operating it. It's going to be a blessing financially this year instead of, with the offerings, it's a blessing. But in terms of running costs this year, it's going to be a blessing. And the offerings are going to go in as an overflow to help us advance and go forward. And it's amazing. Last week, when somebody's not in the middle of something, they come from the outside. They speak, you know, from really the word of the Lord in a way that we wouldn't speak it ourselves. But somebody comes in with an anointing, with a boldness, with a clarity, and just speaks something in a way that you're like, wow, God, that's how you see us. That's how you're speaking about us. You see, what God sees, he speaks. What he sees, he speaks. So he sees us as a people of favor, therefore he speaks it. He sees us as a people of advancement, so he speaks it. He sees us as a people of revelation, so he speaks it. Why? Because that's what he sees us as. So he brings somebody in to encourage and say, hey guys, come on, rise to how I see you. Rise to what I'm speaking over your life, both personally and corporately. You know when somebody is a real prophet and is coming with the word of the Lord, because there's two levels of things that happen. One is something happens in you personally, but something also happens corporately. If you noticed last week, there were I think three occasions where she got people to stand up and respond during the preach to things she was saying. And it's amazing how God can speak the macro, God can speak corporately, God can speak about the mandate and his heart for us as a people, but in the middle of that, he then speaks very personally, bringing freedom, bringing life, because remember what she said, that if we're part of something corporate, and our house corporately is blessed, is favoured, is going to increase and this, that and the other, then if we're connected to that corporate, then our personal house, home, family, household also increases, also is favoured, also is going to be blessed. For this week, for me, it's been like, come on. This is what God's saying over us as Kingdom Faith. So it's like, therefore, my family's blessed. My wife is blessed. My kids are blessed. They are highly favored. They are full of revelation. They're advancing. So that's what I've been doing this week. My wife is advancing. She is favored. She's got a mantle of revelation upon her life. She's got a mantle of perseverance and breakthrough, which was the third one. And same with my kids, even though Megan, for example, she's only 10, she might not understand all of that. Little Joel this morning, he is part of this household and he might not understand at this age a lot. He is a person who's got a mantle of revelation on him, even though he's only a few months old, because he's part of the... I thought that was awesome. It was a little, I don't know if many people got that. We might have gone, yeah, you know, but what do we do with it during the week? I'm going to pull that down then, because if that's on the house, it's on my house. Whatever is spoken over the house, over the us as a household, that's mine in my house then. I'm having that then. So it's like, I want to live personally in everything God is saying corporately. If God is saying increase to the house, spiritually increase, numeric increase, financially increase, whatever, then I'm having that personally. I'm taking on that to personally grow and increase in my relationship with God, in faith, in my walk. Then in terms of my family, I don't want any more kids in the natural, but I've done that, I've done my bit for society. Grandchildren can come whenever, a few years' time. But spiritual kids, to increase, to grow, financially, to increase, to grow. To be a blessing, to give more away, to steward what God is putting in my hands. And so it's like, God, whatever you're saying corporately, I'm having that. I'm going to live in that. And what did she say, which again challenged me? She said, engage your faith and be specific. So for me this week, it's like, right then. I've had one or two delays practically, and so I'm like, right, that's the end of this, the end of that. I haven't seen the result yet this week, but I'm hitting it. And one or two other things as well, spiritually, it's like, right, that's God, you said. So I'm now being even more specific, what I'm speaking, what I'm declaring, what I'm saying. Because now is the time for what God wants to do. And she reminded us of what the word Joseph, or the name that was given to Joseph, Sirnath-Paniah, however it was pronounced. God speaks, God lives. Wow. If God speaks, then I'm going to live. Because God speaks into my life. He speaks into your life. God speaks, God lives. And so when God speaks, it's like it's life into my, not just my spirit, it's life to my soul, it's life to my body, it's life to my whole being. And so after last week, the encouragement of that, it's like it's time to rise in a fresh way. She talked about sons of Issachar, about understanding, to do with the mantle of revelation, about understanding the times that we're in and what we're part of, how we're to pray and how we're to be positioned. And so for me, again this week, it's like, right, the prayer then, if God is saying about speaking, there are a number of things he said last week in different ways, different points about speaking and what it brings, the glass thing and then the heart coming alive again and all of that. It's like, right, if words are powerful, then I want to make sure what I'm speaking is life. What I say in prayer then, man, that can cut through then. And so it's like, Father, what do I pray here? And all you need from God is one line, and that's going to do more than many, many words of our own. So it's like, God, what do you want to do in this person? What do you want to do in that situation? What do you want to do here in the corporate thing? Right, that's a scripture, that's a word. Leviticus 26, these scriptures here, I mean, speaking those out. Because, why? Because it's the word of God. It's living and active. It's alive. It's going to accomplish everything it was sent to do. So it's like, right, that's it. Life over every person in this church. Doesn't matter what age they are, how part of the thing they are or not, whether they're right on the fringe just checking things out, or whether somebody's just at the core of everything going on. I speak this. I speak increase. I speak your favor. I release health, your goodness, that fresh encounter with you, prosperity, favor, increase, whatever it is, it's like life over the body. I refuse to speak negativity over anybody or anything, because God doesn't speak anything negative over you or me. He only speaks life to release himself and his purpose in you and through you. And that's what last week was about. God speaking life over us, saying, everybody, see yourselves as I see you. Speak about yourselves in the same way that I speak about you. You see, God always speaks at a level that is up here so that we can grow into, rise into, take hold of something that is bigger than we are so that we can grow into it. What does God do? He speaks to create a greater capacity. He breathes upon us so that we can then grow into that capacity in God. Then the other scripture that God gave us, oh, there's a few verses we haven't read in this one yet. Just quickly, what's the time? Wee. It's gone 12. I will put my dwelling place among you and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. That thing that we read about last week about dealing with the patterns of whatever it was and being broken. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Just quickly, Genesis 26. Genesis 26, Isaac digging some wells, verse 19. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So he named this well Esek because they disputed with him. It's the place of dispute. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitnah, which then means opposition. He then moved on from there and dug another well. No one quarreled over it. And so he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room. We will flourish in the land. Remember, I don't know, a few weeks ago now, spoke about that. And saying that the time we're in right now is a place of room and a place to flourish. And God had spoken to us as a leadership in December when we had some time. We spent a day praying and going through some things together. God said that this building is like an oasis. And an oasis draws people. It's a place of safety. It's a place of being replenished. It's a place of safety. It's a place of shelter. It's a place to be restocked and restored and everything ready for the journey. And how God said that the well, he is the well of salvation, but that well of salvation is in us as a people. And so we carry the life. The building doesn't. We carry the life, but the building is like an oasis for the community, for the locality. And that we're to seek to, along with changing the hub round and all of that, to have the place open so that it's open 24/7 for people to come and find life, come and find healing, come and find restoration and everything. And so God spoke to us about that we're to continue to make sure we dig at the well that is full of life, We had the 40 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year as a result of that. And the focus was on God, not praying for stuff, but a fresh encounter with God, meeting with God and getting hold of God in a fresh way. But then also the story goes on from there. He then went to Beersheba, which is it means to it's the place of oath or the place of covenant. And he then put an altar there. God spoke to him, and ultimately they dug another well and found water. And God spoke to us about, a couple of years ago, but what I said a few weeks ago was about what we build at Rophi, and that's to become a facility for the whole region, connected to the 25-mile radius vision that God has given us to plant congregations around the whole area. But we'd have a facility there that serves the whole region, not just our congregation or church, but serves the town and the whole region, because we're an oasis. We're a people of safety, a people, like she said last week, a people of favor, attract people, whether it's business people, whether it's people in local authorities or people in all kinds of different needs and situations. Streetlights starting recently in terms of prostitutes and the human trafficking and all of that kind of stuff. Other ministries that are developing, reaching people with certain types of need. It's like God is extending it, the relationships, the contacts out into all kinds of different ways. And as we're doing that and getting things in place and aligning things with what he's saying, he's then pouring his Holy Spirit out on it to transform lives and to move in lives. And the church once again, not just our church, but the church once again is going to become the center of where people come to find answers, where people come to find hope, where people come to find wisdom, where people come to find help, because they say the church really does have the answer. How do we know that? In Job chapter 11, God spoke to us a while ago about this in verses 13 to 19. The last verse says, "And many will court your favor." But it starts with the people who humble themselves before God will let the weightiness of God come upon them in a fresh way. It then talks about the blessings of God that follow, the freedom of God that comes with that. But it talks about many will court your favor. It translates to another verse in Isaiah 45, where it talks about those into other religions, other belief systems, other lifestyle, those that are trapped in all kinds of stuff in their lives. It says they come over to you, they search you out, and they say, "We're in chains, you're not, but it's your God that can set us free." And so God is reminding us, don't see yourselves as the tail, as the people of God. You're the head, you're the people breaking through. You've got a cutting edge, you've got my life, you've got who I am. And so we need to see ourselves as people of salvation, people of hope, people of deliverance, people of health, people that are coming into the difficulties of life to bring the freedom of God where there isn't any at this moment. That's who we are. That's what God sees. That's what he's speaking. And he's saying to us, come on, guys, rise to everything that I'm speaking over you, speaking about you, whether personally or corporately, rise to it in this day, in this hour, because now is the time of his favor and now is the day of his salvation. Amen. Don't you love the word of God? Challenges us though, doesn't it? Because we can live here and the word of God says that and we're like, whoa, hey. But God speaks his word to bring us up to there. So that it's like, yes, that's it. God has spoken it. So that's who I am. That's who we are. That's what we're about. That's how we're moving forward.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.